it up here. Yeah, it's very warm up here. Good morning. Let's begin our worship service with these words. We come to let go of the way of the world, to come from the busyness and the busy business of the day. Turn aside the temptations to do the things that are only done in the shadows. We come to embrace what God offers us, His presence and His unconditional love. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you in the presence of our sisters and brothers, help us to look honestly at our lives and see what you want them to be. Help us to see the things and attitudes we need to change. As we open ourselves to your healing presence, fill us with the spirit of your love and wholeness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's open our hymn books to hymn number 36, God of Our Strength, and let's stand it to sing, please. First scripture this morning is from Luke 12, verses 32 to 40. Luke 12, verses 32 to 40. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's on page 737. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I will say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left the house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Okay, let's open our hymn books to hymn number 570, and let's sing We Walk by Faith. Let's stand, please. Offering. I think I skipped that. Today you can also give online through the link on YouTube or on our website. It's fast, easy, and secure. The donation can come out of your bank account or a credit card, and you'll have the choice to add on a small processing fee as well, which means the church will receive your full gift. And you can set up recurring donations, so if you're on vacation and not here, your gift will still be received. Easy. There's also a plate back here for those who are here in the back of the sanctuary, and you can also mail in your gift. Let's bow for the offering prayer. God of life, we give you these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing you can use them to spread your love in this world. And with these offerings, we give ourselves. May we live with generous hearts and open hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next scripture is from Hebrews 11, 1 to 3, and verses 8 to 16. And that is found on page 851 of your pew Bible. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And skipping to verse 8. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerous grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them for them a city.
Good morning. How's everybody doing out there? Okay, fan yourselves. It's great to be with all of you here today, and welcome also to Marilyn and Barbara, Mary Lou, Dave, Jeff, Harold, Amy, David, and all others well at home. Welcome. Nice to see all of you here. We'll begin with a little quiz. What's the cheapest, best toy for a child? The box it came in, right? A cardboard box. Today we brought props. They could probably get away with selling them for $20 on Amazon, that's the truth. A big refrigerator box. The cardboard box with three brown walls and one flappy side. It's a priceless, priceless toy for a child with an imagination. In an instant and with or without props, the box can become a castle, an office, an underground tunnel, or anything else you want it to be. It could even become a kingdom. What would happen if we thought of our Bible as a cardboard box? A study done by Janet Ruffing looked at the impacts of imaginative prayer and found that for individuals who engaged in imaginative prayer, their entire intersubjective reality was gradually oriented around the divine presence as the center of their lives. And this reorientation leads to similar effects in their lives as a whole. So everything was increasingly experienced in a transfigured way. And the same study showed that with practice and consistency, those using imaginative prayer with appropriate symbols and imagery had amplified spiritual experiences that transformed their realities into kingdom-like worlds. Wait, hold the boat. Or the box. Let me say that again. People who engaged in imaginative prayer gradually oriented their whole lives around God. And for them, everything was increasingly experienced in a new and different way. And with practice and consistency, those using imaginative prayer with the appropriate symbols and imagery had amplified spiritual experiences that transformed their realities into kingdom-like worlds. I think it's amazing. They went into the cardboard box with some crayons. They drew on the wall, and that became their reality. And this can, too. In other words, seeing kingdom of God seems, or concepts in our mind's eye when we read the Bible, not only has personal, internal benefits, but it also creates positive external realities. And while we can't know how or when God's kingdom will come, we can affirm that we humans are wired for altering our lives and the world around us through our imaginations. In fact, some of the most devout Christians believe that their thoughts can and do create things. The historian Mary Carruthers found that prayer in European medieval monastic culture was primarily understood as a process of crafting thought. So in this culture, she says, memory was understood not as a mirror of the past, or a record of what has happened, but as a tool to make real what God desired. In other words, prayer enables us to enter the cardboard box and create things. What if then we turn this idea toward what God told us about the kingdom in Scripture? Wouldn't there be a strong possibility that our interior and exterior worlds would change for the good? And that the kingdom of heaven could be made more real than if we gave it little or no consideration. Hebrews 11 seems to call us to this kingdom imagination. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things not visible." Let me repeat that last line. The worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Incredible. And then God gives us kingdom passages in 1 Corinthians, Philippians, Psalm 8, Ephesians, Isaiah, Romans, Hebrews, Revelation, Luke, and so on. And they're full of details and nuance and dialogue. So as we close our eyes and contemplate those scenes, we can fill in the details, the gaps. Visions and dreams abound in Scripture. So much so that it seems that God wants us to open our hearts, to look and see with our mind's eye, just as John did in Revelation. God gave us kingdom passages to help us align our imaginations with God's and to turn what we see into a state of communion with a reality of its own. And how God created everything out of nothing. Reading Scripture imaginatively with the company of the Holy Spirit Using visualization and our imaginations can help us gain a deeper, more full sensory perception of God and what God wants us to see and know. It's God's way of saying, look over here. So just as athletes win by seeing their victories and cancer patients heal by envisioning their remission, kingdom visioning can transform our attitudes, mental states, our emotions, our relationships, and our life experiences. In this way, they can pave the way for God to seep into everything. This is how the kingdom is built. But what exactly is the kingdom of God? I mean, we have to know something about it in order to imagine it. Many scholars and theologians have tried with a lot of difficulty to capture it in words. George Eldon Ladd describes it as a present salvation. And God's dynamic redemptive reign that began with the incarnation of Jesus and will end when evil is defeated and humans are reunited with God. But listen to this. He says that the kingdom of God comes with persuasion rather than power, and must be accepted to be effective, even as the ground must receive the seed. Meaning that when we read kingdom passages and use our imaginations to see what God wants us to see, we have to accept what we see. When God says, look over here, we ought to look. N.T. Wright says that God's kingdom is a time or state when God infills all of creation with love, and that this process involves our free will. The world was created good but incomplete, he says. But we look forward to the day when the forces of rebellion have been defeated and creation responds freely and gladly to the love of our Creator. So as God's children, our job is to respond freely and gladly to God's love in a childlike, imaginative way. Look over here, God says. This kingdom visioning gives us something to be glad about, and even as Jesus' followers on a mission, we have good reason to rest in God for a little while each day, to replace our worries and fears and overwhelm about the world's current affairs with contentment, excitement, and expectancy about the eventual state of communion with God. Imagine. It's more than okay to go inside the holy cardboard box. Holy, oh, that kind of holy, not holes, but the holy cardboard box. Go inside and imagine the full beauty of God's intended world. Yet we know that there is no way we can imagine the grandeur or reality of God's kingdom. I mean, we're only human. And we might also have to shed some theological baggage about rapture or an angry God or wrath. Hell, God-willed genocide. Or we might end up with more confusion than joy, more fear than hope. So before we even approach the Word of God and do kingdom visioning, we have to know that God really is love. That God really is like Jesus. This is why Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the exact imprint of God. And to look to Jesus as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Because when we know Jesus, we know God. And we can see more clearly. Our holy cardboard box will only be as magical, exciting, beautiful, colorful, and comfortable as we want it to be. Why would we want it to be anything less? why would we want to lose in our own imagination that God gave us? The heroes of our faith, like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Sarah and Abraham, Moses, and others, they were looking for, and they saw in their mind's eye, something they could not physically see. In their imaginations, they created an anticipated future. And Hebrews calls this faith. The kingdom visions of these heroes produced a sureness in them. And that's what motivated them to sacrifice everything and act on what God showed them in their mind's eye. We can have the same kind of faith by going into our holy cardboard box and making our dreams more as magnificent as we can possibly imagine. If we do this enough, we'll begin acting in ways that turn that little paper world into a real kingdom. Now, if we want to multiply the effects of this, we can spend time imagining God's kingdom in a trusted Christian community like this one, the body of Christ, with the Holy Spirit. And together, we can begin to see what God has prepared for those of us who love God. We can have the mind of Christ. So when God says, "Look over here," we do, and I mean, what's to stop us from using our imaginations to co-build God's kingdom together right now? Or should I ask, who is to stop us? Well, that's an interesting question, because kingdom visioning is an act of spiritual warfare. It's a way to reject the evils of this world and instead see the goodness of God's kingdom. It's a way, even if only temporarily, in the midst of our daily life, to replace distress with bliss. To rebuke Satan by fully endorsing what God has in store for us. To mentally rehearse what we know is ahead. To be God's imagers and imaginers here on earth, to close the gap between earth and heaven. Look over here, God says. Amen. Let's close our eyes and imagine and pray together. God, through John's revelation, you told us, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and chaos was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them, and they will be God's people, and God will be with them. God will wipe every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.'" Amen. Let's stand and sing, "I Need Thee Every Hour," in your hymnal, number 555. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help us to know that God is love and to imagine what God wants us to see. Kingdom made of love. Give us curiosity to notice the good things you're doing today. Remind us to follow Jesus and to be your face of love in this new time. God, we align our wills to yours as we pray for the joys and concerns we heard earlier. And then in this moment of silence, please hear the prayers of your people. We pray also for our enemies to become friends, that the hungry and poor have plenty, that the oppressed be uplifted and justice be done, that all who are troubled have peace of mind, that our shame be redeemed, that wars and violence stop in your name, that our children and youth thrive, that the sick be healed, and that we have the courage to pray for complete healing, even for ailments we think are incurable because you are in us. Help us to be in your image of goodness and health. We pray that the outcomes of the MCUSA delegate session glorify you, that all of creation be restored, that leaders of the world be led by love, that those who serve this church are well supported, that this church, our ministries, our families, our friends, and our pets be protected and enveloped in your love. God, we love you so much. We pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise for our sending, and then we can go cool off. This week, I invite you to treat your Bible like a holy cardboard box. And in our newsletter tomorrow, I'll give you some kingdom passages to read. And after you read them, invite the Holy Spirit into your box and see what comes of it. Have fun. Let's sing Guide My Feet, verses 1, 2, 4, and 6, in your hymnal number 5, 4, 6.
And we will all sing the leader part.